It is so very good to see everybody who is here this morning. As I'm scanning the audience, I see we have quite a few people that are visiting. You are our most welcome, our most honored guest. It is always our intention and always our desire to make those of you that are visiting to feel so welcome you want to come back whenever you're here in the Searcy area again and worship God together with us. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel absolutely, completely overwhelmed? And you have so many different things you're trying to take care of that you feel like you're not really doing anything very good. Or possibly may you find yourself in circumstances where you realize, I need to take care of this, I need to take care of that, and you have more things coming at you that need to be taken care of than you're able to take care of. And sometimes you may start thinking, what's wrong with me? I'm not able to live the Christian life the way the Lord tells me to live it because I got so many things that I need to take care of, and there's so many things that I'm not taking care of that need my attention. Okay, I probably imagine everybody here this morning has said, yes, I feel that way a lot. Okay. I worked up three different sermons. It's going to take three sermons to preach it all. This morning, tonight, and when I get back from the gospel meeting in 2 weeks, the morning sermon is going to be the third sermon. We're going to be studying from the Scriptures how to live the Christian life to the fullest, moment to moment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. The same verse from the New American Standard says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. Time is a continual process of moment to moment to moment. My watch has a minute hand, second to second to second. That's the way life is. It is going forward a little at a time, moment to moment. What we're going to be trying to do is learn how to seize each moment, each individual moment, and live that moment, just that moment alone, to the absolute fullest as a Christian. Going back to Ecclesiastes in chapter 8, 5, and 6, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and judgment. The verse we open with in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1 is talking simply about how there's a time for every purpose. But here in Ecclesiastes 8, he talks about how the wise man is able to discern what time it is, and not only is he conscious of the moment and what time it is at that moment, he understands what to do at that moment. Oh, what a wonderful goal to have. To have wisdom, to understand moment to moment in my life where I am, what time it is, and from moment to moment I have the wisdom and understanding of now what do I do at this moment. There's a New Testament verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. You're probably familiar with it from the King James and the New King James. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I want to use this particular verse from the New King James because I like the word circumspectly. It is the idea of being continually conscious of where you are and what is going on around you again from moment to moment. Let me give you the same verse again from the New American Standard. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So here in this particular translation, he's talking about walking carefully, walking circumspectly, but the very next verse talks about making the most of your time. So putting these two verses together from Ecclesiastes and Ephesians, the wise man discerns the time. He understands where he is at that moment, and he understands the right thing to do at that moment. And then we see here in Ephesians, you seize the moment and you do it to the fullest. Wow. Yeah, I like that concept. To where I recognize the moment, I know what to do at the moment, and I seize the moment and do it and live it to the fullest. And then another moment comes. And then another moment. And another moment. That's the way of life. It is a continual process of time moving forward, moment to moment, situation to situation. And you're facing multitudes of these every single day. How do you go from moment to moment? Not just one moment, but moment to moment to moment to moment, recognizing continually where you are, understanding what needs to be done, and then doing it to the fullest. One last verse before we go past the introduction. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." I like this concept of watching and being sober. The idea of watching, again, is being alert of where you are and what is going on around you, but sober as the idea of being clear-headed to where I see reality of where I am. And so what we're going to be talking about in the lesson this morning, a whole lot of it is going to be focused on seeing and understanding reality of where I am. If you look at the outline, you notice the outline that you have in front of you goes down to number 3 on this. I do not have the second point here on the outline on the overhead. There's a reason for that. I worked this sermon up last week, and then I was laying in bed. I was thinking, it's not complete. Something's missing. Because I'm teaching to you about reality, something's missing. And what was missing was a whole discussion of how do you know what reality is. And so this is not on the PowerPoint. If you got the sermon outline, pick it up right now. If you don't have the sermon outline, you got a Bible, open it right now. And go over to 1 John chapter 1, 6 and 7 is where I am on the outline under subheading 2. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in light. Light helps you see what's there. Has anybody ever walked in total pitch darkness? How far did you go before you stumbled or bumped into something and hurt yourself? Not very far. So what we do is we turn on the light. We turn on the light to see where we are so we don't stumble and fall, so we can see the reality of what's in front of us. That's what light does. Walking in light is talking about walking in the truth. And the point I'm simply trying to make is this. For you to be conscious of reality and where you are in your life, you've got to use the truth to understand moment-to-moment reality. Don't go to the overhead. Put that down for a moment. Psalms 119, verses 104 through 105. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Here again, he's talking about the word of God being a lamp. It is a light to your path. The point I'm simply trying to make is, if I want to know the truth about me, I've got to look into the Word of God. If I want to know the truth about where I came from, I've got to look into the truth of the Word of God because it tells me about God creating us. I go to the Word of God, it shows me that I'm a human being with a spirit, with a soul that continues to exist for all eternity. I learn the truth about me by going to the Word of God. The point I'm simply trying to make is, if you do not use the Word of God as your standard, you are not going to be operating in reality. Putting it another way, you may be finding yourself calling evil good and good evil. You don't even know what's right and wrong. You don't even know how to live your life. You don't even know what you are. The only way I understand what I am, where I came from, what death is, what's beyond death, and how to live my life to get the most out of it is by turning to the light of the Word. The Word is the truth. And so for us to function and live in reality, understanding what time it is from moment to moment, you got to use the light of the Word to shine it all around you to understand where you really are. The next verse is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, one of my favorite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So again, we're talking about our paths being directed, but one of the problems is I cannot lean on my own understanding. You cannot think, well, I feel this. I like this. I think this. And so therefore, I feel it and I like it. It must be right. I think that I like this, and so this is the way to go. If you're doing that, if you're using your feelings and your thoughts and your opinions to try to determine what reality is and where you are, you're walking in darkness. And when you're walking in darkness, you don't know where you are. This whole lesson this morning is trying to help us come to this point in our life to where we learn to trust the Word of God that it is the truth. And use the Word of God as a lamp and a light to show ourselves where we are and where we are all around us. You can't walk circumspectly if you can't see it. And you can't live in reality if you can't see reality through the truth. Now then, back to the sermon overhead. What is the truth about you and where you are spiritually? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? The verse here in 2 Corinthians tells us the importance of me examining me. Me testing me. And so when I examine myself, what do I examine myself with? The Word of God. You use it like a mirror. You look into the Scriptures and you are going to see the reality of where your spiritual flaws are. You're going to see the reality of the sin that is in your life. If you want to see yourself, truly you, you have to use the Word of God as your standard that you're shining upon yourself to see where you are spiritually in your relationship with God. Let me show you how important this is. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. What this verse here is to me is a warning. And the warning is, Wayne, look at yourself, watch yourself, examine yourself, make sure where you are spiritually in your relationship with God, moment to moment. Take heed to yourself. Okay, you think you stand, you think you're going to heaven? Good. Now, are you going to heaven, though? Where are you spiritually? Are you entangled in sin and on the ground? Are you overcome by wickedness and on the ground? If you are, realize that about yourself. See the truth about you. Please. This is the most vital and the most important thing that we do in our lives as Christians first. And that is, I got to be honest about me. When I examine me, I have to be honest about where I really am. Otherwise, I might be thinking to myself, I'm doing good, and I got my eyes closed, and I'm not looking at the Scriptures, and you're not doing good. The contrary, if you were to die, you'd go to hell. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to keep our eyes closed and never examine yourself. Do not test yourself. Don't look at the Word of God and then compare yourself to the Scriptures. Don't do that. Just put in your mind, everything's okay, everything's okay, la, la, la. Let me give you another verse on this. Joshua 23:11. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. All right, please be honest in answering this question. Do you really love God? I didn't ask if you believe in God. I asked, did you love him? Because the primary command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, all your strength, all of you. So do you love God? Honestly, answer that now. Please, be honest with yourself. If you're answering the question, well, I like God. I think he's pretty powerful. That's not the question. The question is, do you love him? And if the answer is no, you need to work on yourself. In living from moment to moment, we have to be honest with ourselves about where we really are spiritually. And the point I'm trying to make to you is this. I want all of you to go to heaven. Yeah. But I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. And for me to not miss heaven, the first thing I got to do, and the first thing you got to do always, is test yourself. Examine yourself. Take heed to yourself moment to moment to moment. And be honest with yourself as to whether or not you're keeping his commandments in your life and whether or not you even love God. Because if the answer is no, then that's where work needs to be done. When we're struggling with sin, the first thing we got to do is acknowledge the struggle and the battle and then engage the battle. But we will never grow spiritually if we won't even look at it, won't even think about it. Let me give you another verse on this. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice again how the verse begins. Take heed to yourself. That's the same phrase we found 3 times already. Watch yourself. Look at yourself. Examine yourself. Test yourself. And he says in regard to that, you compare yourself to what? The doctrine, the Word of God, and you continue in it. I want to save myself first, not trying to be greedy here, folks, but I want to make sure I make it. I am not going to become so arrogant that, well, I'm a preacher, I got it. No. Preachers sin too. And when we do, you face up to it, you deal with it, you ask God's forgiveness, and you get up, and you get back into the race. But the first step of true spiritual growth as a Christian is taking heed to yourself. Examining yourself, testing yourself, honestly be truthful with yourself. Where are you emotionally? Proverbs 15:13 says, merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. All right, when you're examining yourself, exactly where are you in your emotions? And you may be asking, well, why is it important for me to see this? Because it is our emotions that we struggle with. It is our emotions that make it difficult to live life to the fullest. To live as a Christian from moment to moment, our emotions get in the way. Look at this. Sorrow, what does it do to the heart? It breaks the spirit. The spirit's broken. So are you struggling with grief? You need to know this. There's nothing wrong with you if you're struggling with grief. If you've lost a loved one and you're struggling with sorrow, there's nothing wrong with you. What you are experiencing is part of loving someone. And because you love them and they are gone, now you're hurting. And the point I'm trying to make is this. It's difficult to function when your heart is broken. It's just difficult to function when you're grieving. Proverbs 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? In your examining of yourself and trying to examine your emotions, ask yourself this question, am I angry right now? Have I got my tempers high? Am I filled with wrath? Am I bitter? And if the answer is yes, don't do anything then. Don't say anything. Because in that emotion, if you speak in anger and you speak in wrath, you're going to say something that's outrageous. You're going to do something that's going to be destructive. James 1:20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It's not on the sermon outline. James 1:20. In your wrath, you're not going to say or do something wonderful. And so if you recognize you're upset, that's the time to shut down the mouth. Don't say anything. And don't do anything. So again, self-examination, a lot of it is, where am I in my emotions? And being aware when I'm struggling with my anger and wrath. Proverbs 12 and 25. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Same verse from the English Standard Version. Proverbs 12 and 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Anxiety, fear, worrying. Okay, is that describing you and where you are? And again, if it does, all I'm wanting you to do is just recognize this. Recognize that you're struggling with fear. Recognize you're struggling with anxiety and worrying. And when you're struggling with fear and anxiety and worrying, what does the scripture say? It causes depression. It weighs a man down. Is it difficult to function when you're depressed? Yes. Sometimes almost impossible when you're weighed down. And so that is why I'm telling you, it's important to examine the truth of where you are in your emotions. Because these emotions make it difficult to live life from moment to moment to the fullest. Because those emotions are swelling over and pouring over into our functioning and our decisions and our choices. And a lot of times it is the emotions that are getting in the way. And it's the emotions that are preventing us from being able to do as we call live life to the fullest. Psalms 143, verse 4. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I open the sermon by asking you this question. Are you overwhelmed? Are you having so many things coming at you so fast? And you feel like, I can't do them all. They're just hitting the ground. And then you start panicking. Sometimes, have you ever shut down completely because you've got so many things coming so fast, it just totally overwhelms you. And then everything hits the ground. Yeah, I've been there before. I call it burnout. When I reach burnout, everything hits the ground then. I basically sit down and become worthless because I don't do anything. All right, preacher's being honest with you. I struggle with anger. I struggle with fear. I struggle with being overwhelmed. I'm being honest with you because I know that's where every one of you are. Every one of you. That's where we are, okay? That's part of self-examination. That's part of testing yourself. It's just being honest with where you are in your emotions. And then finally, where are you physically? In Luke 12, 48. But he did not know, yet committed this thing deserving of stripes, should be beaten with many, with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. I wanted to start this part of the sermon with this verse, specifically the last part of it. Unto whom much is given, of him much shall be required. What we're talking about here is, where are we physically? Exactly what are my abilities physically? With my mind, with my body, with my finances, with what I have in my life around me. What has been committed to me by God? What has been given to me and entrusted to me by God? Because if God has given you a lot, he expects a lot from you. In Mark 12, 41 through 44, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Here Jesus is in the temple. He's watching the people come and putting money out of into the treasury of the temple. And you've got wealthy people who are coming and they're pouring in all kinds of money. And then this widow comes and drops in two mites. She gave more than anybody. Because she gave all. In her poverty, she gave all. There's a lesson here I want you to learn. What God has committed to you and committed to me, he wants us to give it all back to him, to his glory, regardless of how much it is. And you may be thinking, but I've only got a little that I can do. Then do it. And do not put yourself down just because you are physically unable to do more than others. Let me give you another verse on this. Matthew 25, 15. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Okay. You know the parable of the talents. I want you to notice what I have underlined here, the phrase, each according to his own what? Ability. The Lord knows what you are able to do. He did not expect the one talent man to produce five talents. He only expected him to produce one. But in doing so, he would have been giving 100% of himself to the glory of God. And so, where are you physically? I'm serious, where are you physically as to what you are able to do physically? It's important for us to be honest with ourselves first and live in reality of where I am emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Because I'm talking about me going from moment to moment to moment. And in the end, I want to make it to heaven. And I want to make it to heaven by living Christianity to the fullest, moment to moment to moment, realizing I struggle spiritually. I sin and fall. Okay, what do you do with it when those happen? You acknowledge it. You examine yourself and you say, I sinned. I sinned against God. And you take it to God in prayer. You ask forgiveness of it from our God. And then you get up and keep going forward by faith. When I examine myself and I recognize where I am in my emotions, if I'm angry, I'm not going to say anything to you. If I walk away, it's because I love you. And I'm not going to do anything. And I'm struggling with fear, and sometimes I do. Why do you think Isaiah 41:10 is my favorite verse? If you don't know the verse, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, because I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you find yourself struggling with fear, Run to the Lord and put your trust in Him and draw strength from Him and realize He's with you. It is your faith that helps you get past the fear. Recognize where you are in your emotions and then deal with them. If you're struggling with sorrow, look to the hope of the resurrection. If you're struggling with anger, learn to love unconditionally and to pass over the transgression. If you're struggling with fear, learn to trust in the Lord, but learn to recognize the emotional weaknesses when they're there, when you're struggling with them, and then deal with them. Deal with reality of where you are. Don't close your eyes to yourself. First, be honest with yourself as to where you are. And then start taking care of yourself spiritually, physically, and emotionally. I have physical limitations. I can't mow the yard anymore. It really was embarrassing when I was trying to mow my mother-in-law's yard and I had to walk away from the lawnmower because I was afraid I was going to die if I kept going. Yeah, where I am. When the doctor told me I've had a massive heart attack, what was the first word I asked him? Can I still preach? Because if I can't do this, I may as well die. Find out where you are. And if all you've got is two mites, give it to the glory of God. Give all you've got to the glory of God. And listen real close to what I'm about to tell you. There is no shame. There is no dishonor. There is no sin when you can't do what you used to be able to do. Okay? Sometimes, literally, you can't do what you used to be able to do. That's reality. Now do the best you can with what you got, where you are. Moment to moment, to the fullest, even if it's two mites. That was the introduction. That was lesson number one. Oh, my wife said, my coach said, one more verse. Galatians 6:10, probably. Yeah, push the button, see. Yeah, Galatians 6:10. Thanks, coach. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Now then, put it down. Ability with opportunity produce responsibility. I'll say that again. Ability with opportunity produce responsibility. So going from moment to moment, recognize the opportunity, recognize your abilities, and do the best you can with what you got where you are. Living your Christian life to the fullest. And even if the fullest is just two mites, that's fine. There's a lesson someone taught me many years ago. You cannot give what you have not got. And so if you're burnt out, you need to recharge first. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're overwhelmed, okay. Remember how long it takes for you to get settled in mind and able to go forward? Okay. So recognize the problems that are there that sometimes slow us down, that make it difficult to do everything that needs to be done at the moment. Deal with yourself first. Take care of yourself first, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And then do the best you can to go forward with where you are, moment to moment. Now then, That was the introduction and all of it. Tonight, we're going to continue the sermon. If you're not able to come back, I have already got the outlines out there on the table. And so if you realize I'm not coming back tonight, grab an outline. If you want the third outline, if you even want me to, I'll mail it to you. But it's going to take three sermons to preach this entire sermon. The sermon this morning was just the introduction. Tonight we're going to continue it. And I hope you'll be back to hear, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. But if there's anybody here this morning who is not a member of the one body, why? Why are you not in Christ? Exactly what's preventing you from becoming a Christian? If you don't believe, that's it right there. But if you do believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you do believe he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, if you believe this in order to become a Christian, openly confess that faith, motivated by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance, that is to follow the Word of God by faith in your life. If you're willing to make that commitment of repentance, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the one body. If you're a child of God, and as you examine yourself and look at yourself, you realize there's sin between you and your God, deal with it. Acknowledge the reality of the sin separating you from God. Acknowledge the reality of sin that you're not dealing with, and go straight into it quickly and deal with it immediately. You and your eternal salvation are always in your life and must be and maintained number one priority. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.